You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
That's Unknown Mortal Orchestra. Wonderful, wonderful musical outfit. Very successful around the world. And also, Unknown Mortal Orchestra perform the theme tune to the new David Farrier series just released on Netflix called Dark Tourist. Joining me in the studio, David Farrier.
I was so happy when Ruben agreed to do the music. I was good just job. On cloud nine. I was like, okay, we're on to a good thing here.
He's a bit of a dark tourist himself, isn't he, really?
I think he'd be into it. I think he's seen the show, which is good. He approves. It was my big fear. It's like, gives you the song and then watches the show and hates it. But now seems to be into it, which is cool.
Hey, for those people who don't know your history, David, you've been a journalist in New Zealand here for, you're a New Zealand journalist.
Yes.
Obviously from the South Island, because you roll your ass.
From the North, but best friend from the South. Real creep, I just took on his accent.
So how's that he did it? That is pretty. I've never heard that, but that's creepy.
That's super creepy. Oh, I'm a creep. It's no doubt.
You're amongst friends. You're on BFM. Creep FM. So your new show's come out on Netflix. How many episodes? Six?
Eight. We do three countries in each. It's called Dark Tourist. It's about dark tourism. So people that go to sort of horrible places for a holiday because they're sort of sick of beaches and they'd rather just go somewhere sort of bizarre
horrible
and interesting.
Horrible places like...
just where the disasters happened. So like...
Yeah, so we're talking really horrible. We're talking places that the rest of the world would go out of their way to avoid.
Yeah, someone will be like, okay, I'm going to go... I've always wanted to go to Atomic Lake, which is in Kazakhstan, you know, the most atomic bomb place on Earth because there's a big lake that was formed from atomic bombs. So someone's like, I'm going to go there.
I don't want to ruin anything.
Swim in that lake.
Swim in that lake and it's the best drone shot of the series,
Jake Bryant shot that there and his drone stuff was just like,
yeah,
ooh,
you did.
Yeah.
Your drone stuff is 2018 as, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, well, there's a good ways to use the drones in bad ways and I think we sort of nailed the drone stuff.
We're in the era of drones. You watch a TV network news story now, and that's they drone the shit out of
they've
it.
They've got drones. Some camera operator's gone out and bought a drone, and we're going to put this on the news.
Jeez, I'm going to lose my job if I don't learn how to drone.
When you're in an atomic-sized lake, you need a drone up there, don't you?
But that shot's amazing, man. Did you ever think that you would be splayed out on the top of the crater of an atomic bomb that went off in Kazakhstan?
You know, your mind just starts to think.
Flipping Germany hopscotch. Man.
Start to think what's below, you know, what's underneath. Is this a good idea?
Well, did they say not to swim down too deep something?
That was their advice. Don't dive down.
How does some of the water not be radioactive?
But shooting the whole show was unusual.
Hold on a second, your eyelash just fell off. What? You're bleeding out your nose, David. What?
See, in 20 years, we'll see what happens. But it's weird. Like, we had the most weird health and safety briefings making the show because we were going in to do things like that. We're talking off air about that torture house. McCamey Manor in America, where you're paying dog food for some guy to torture you.
Let's just recap that for a second. Slow that down, David. It's at McCamey Manor. It's a guy's
McCamey
name.
McCamey Manor.
Where you get tortured by choice.
By choice.
And you pay the person who tortures you, and he's the dude is freaky, man. That situation's freaky.
All he wants is dog food because he gives all the dog food to the local shelter for, you know, the local animal shelter. So, like, nice guy, right? But then you're paying him
to
waterboard you and that kind of thing. And we spent 3 days with Russ McCamey, and the whole time he was just grinning his head off. He's so happy doing what he does. And that's what was unsettling.
For those people that might have seen the show, that is more than unsettling. That is freaky, brother. That is so freaky. And look at you. You're bright of eye.
I'm alive.
You're not mentally unhinged after that.
It was a really weird 8 months shooting it because we were seeing some pretty crazy stuff.
Some of the things that you saw that blew me away that you were there for that rocket launch.
Space tourism. You can pay, people pay a lot of money to go and see a rocket launch. It's the only, in Kazakhstan, they lease the land, and it's the only place, if you're a human, to get into space is Kazakhstan. So they're not launching, you know, America's not launching humans into space. So if you're part of the Russian space program or the American space program, you go to Kazakhstan to get into space. So we went there to watch a rocket launch, which was just the maddest thing.
Which just happened to be happening there at the time that you were filming your TV series.
It's so loud. How awesome is that? It's so loud. And thank God for pre-roll on a camera because we were waiting for so long for it to ignite and we kind of drifted off and got distracted. And then suddenly it's launching. And suddenly you hit record and, you know, this built-in thing with these cameras where it's automatically has been recording the whole time, 10 seconds before you hit record.
Okay.
If we didn't have that feature, we would have had to wait around for the next rocket. It would have been a real problem. It would have been a blowout.
Let's talk about I just can talk to you about that for 11,000 years. Let's talk about some of the other places you went. You went
Turkmenistan was probably my highlight.
The Stans was my favourite episode.
Yeah, the Stans are interesting because I think people, well, I certainly didn't know a lot about them, and we went to Turkmenistan. We're looking at getting into North Korea, but it just ended up with scheduling and just the difficulties getting in there ended up being too hard. And in our North Korea research, we sort of were looking into Turkmenistan, which is very similar. It's got
I never knew that it was.
It's a mad place, and it's they built this $5 billion marble city that's just sitting there, like quite unoccupied, relative to the amount of space they've got there. And they were holding this very strange Olympic event, the Indoor Martial Arts Games. And usually journalists aren't allowed into Turkmenistan, but we sort of piggybacked on this Olympic event as a sports journalist. And so we could go in with cameras and be open about it and just sort of sneak off and do some other stuff. But that was just madness because Turkmenistan is in the middle of a desert.
That freaked you out though. I could see that in the show. That was you were just completely shell shocked by.
Oh yeah, just the way it's the security there. You're always being watched. You hear a lot of journalists are in prison over there. No one will speak to you if you bring up the president and try and talk to anyone about him. People will just they'll just walk the other way, like terrified.
And the opening ceremonies of this particular event that you went to rivaled the Olympics.
No one knows this happened. And it was just it's bigger than Rio. It was the biggest opening ceremony I'd ever seen. And I'd just accidentally cut my hand open and had an operation, and they gave me a lot of ketamine I was being operated on. So while we're watching that ceremony, like straight would be full on, but like on ketamine, it was like a whole other thing.
I think you really push yourself mentally to the limits watching that. I could see, because you sort of get to a point and you go, that's it, he's hit it. And you're sort of like, wow, I can't believe that. And then something else happens on top of that. And then on top of that, and you can just see almost topple backwards at one stage. It's too much.
It was a very stimulating event. A lot of fireworks, a lot of craziness. And they're really excited about their natural gas reserves. So part of the opening ceremony was this huge thing of like demonstrating their natural gas. So it had like all these like pipelines come in and like all this gas be lit on fire.
I guess if you're there, that sounds like it makes sense. But as you're talking about it sounds less and less sense.
Natural gas. Oh, yeah. But no, that Turkmenistan was mad, and I really loved. We went into the jungle in Indonesia for some sort of interesting sort of funeral rites there, which
that
were
was
pretty
crazy
unique.
As well. Yeah,
yeah, a lot of animals being killed there.
You went into that either?
No, not into animals being killed, but I mean, they're eating everything. It's great. Like a lot. That's the thing. That's the one thing. Like doing the show, it's like there's this conflict between animal rights and thinking, that's not particularly humane. But also looking at it and seeing that like they value that animal and they're eating all of it. So conflict of what you're seeing. You know,
different. I sort of looked at it. They're vibrating at a different frequency than the way we us New Zealand guys vibrate.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. It was cool. And like, just, yeah, I guess it's a show about sort of death in a way. So seeing the kind of, yeah. But also like getting to these places where something a bit odd had happened or a bit dark, but then finally
400 atomic bombs having been
detonated. Exactly. But in one spot. That,
and there's you with your Geiger counter going, shit.
Yeah, the sound of a Geiger counter, not a great sound. Terrifying. Never want to hear it again.
When you're going through those things, the list of activities of today's itinerary, sort of thing. Here's what's happening in the activities part of the crowd. What did you say no to?
What did I say no to? That's a really good
brave
question.
Little soldier.
I mean, North Korea was a no in the end because it just got a bit out of hand. Makami Manor, I eventually said no to. I couldn't go through with that because it was just too, like hearing people scream in that place was pretty full on. I didn't get involved in any of the animal killing myself. I just sort of stayed on the sidelines of that. So I said no to all that. They often wanted me to take part in that.
But you were in the splash zone,
Oh, there was a lot of splash. There was a lot of splash going on. There's so much blood. So much. But I love animals, and that's been really... That was kind of tough. But we just tried. We had a good little tour.
Just for the listeners' benefit, David Ferrier is wearing a lovely grey hoodie with a beautiful little pussy hat on the front.
Yeah, it was a full-on year. And I guess we've sort of distilled that into these 8 episodes which people can watch, I suppose, and sort of make their own mind up about all this stuff.
I was saying to David off here that the one thing I really liked is that this sort of topic has been bandied around on TV for quite a while, but I really thought that your show took it to the place it should go to, and it was really cool, and it's the new go-to show for dark tourism, obviously.
Yeah, it's the one. It's the one to go to.
You're going to be hard pressed to do a season two, or are you planning to do a season two?
That's the thing. While researching the first season, we've got so many ideas for other places, and since the show's gone out, getting so many messages from people being like,
"Wow, that's cool!
I'm in Mexico. We've got this horrible thing that's happened. Come here, I'll show you around." And like people being really open to it. So I feel like kind of, you know, a lot of shows use something like, would use another way into a country, like another thing. But our way in is kind of like something awful has happened, but then we get in there and then we find like the good around it that sprung up. And people are really into that and writing in saying, come to Indonesia, come back to Mexico, we've got this thing. Like, you're in Mexico, you didn't come to this horrible thing.
Yeah.
And it's really neat, you know?
And apart from maybe a few government sort of representatives, the people that you're dealing with all seem really, really cool.
Oh, no, everyone's amazing. Everyone's amazing. Even, like, the government minder in Myanmar that was following us around with a little camera, like, she had elements that were likeable, you know? Like, so even the government people, like, everyone's got something good
about
them.
I just love the way they've got professional people who do that, and they go, please turn the camera off, and you obviously don't.
No, never. Yeah, everyone assumes, right, when they say
the red
the
lights
camera
off. Uh-huh.
Yeah, right.
And the 20-lane motorway is awesome.
People, what I've learned this year is that governments with a lot of money sometimes don't spend it in a very wise way.
Hold on, what?
It's a crazy concept that I've just learned for the first time in the over the last year. Just if you didn't know that.
Yeah.
Just something to be made aware of.
Hey, hey, David, thank you so much for coming into the show. Lovely to meet you properly.
No, it's a pleasure.
And I really love the series. It's on Netflix right now, and you can watch the whole thing. You can sit there and watch the whole thing today if you wanted to. Which must be hard when you've spent months and months and months and months and months and months and months putting it together and going through such turgid hell.
Oh, it's what it's like making a show. It's full on. But you know,
everyone can watch it today and go tomorrow, then go, when's the next one?
Netflix is cool. In Australasia, they put up my film Tickled as well.
Yeah.
Which is cool. So that's
just going really well worldwide
still,
isn't it? Still,
it's cool. Yeah, it's cool hearing from
still
people.
Opening interesting doors for you worldwide.
Yeah, tickling. Yeah, people love tickling. Competitive tickling's where it's at.
All right, on. And so what are you doing? Are you back? What are you doing now?
I'm back
here
for a little bit.
We're
just sort of seeing, I guess I'm seeing how the show's received, and I guess Netflix decides, depending on its algorithm and crazy maths and analytics, whether they want more or not.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they do, that's cool. If they don't, I'll go and do something else.
For people who are making, you know, fellow TV makers and creative types, wasn't the Netflix experience a good one for you?
Netflix was cool. Like the cool thing about them, of course, I'm going to say this right because it's like they commissioned the show, but like they were incredible. And the notes, they like always when you make a show for a network, that you'll get network notes. Some executive comes in and says something, but all their notes made sense, which was the nicest, weirdest thing. And it was like a discussion, and it worked, and they weren't just making crazy changes. So that was a really cool experience. And you just notice the power of it. Like, getting feedback from places, you know, people are writing and from places that don't speak English. You know, you're getting all this feedback. And on Twitter, I'm hitting translate and just getting all these cool messages from all over the world. And then you go, oh, that's right. Like, Netflix is worldwide.
Yeah.
And getting that is awesome. Like, we get as much feedback from non-English-speaking countries and English-speaking countries, and that's awesome.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Hey, well, congratulations, man, and I urge all BFM listeners to enjoy the television show Dark Tourist on Netflix right now. Thank you, David Farrier.
Thank you.
95 BFM Podcasts. 95 BFM is supported by our listeners. Sign up for a Simplicity B-card at 95bfm.com/signup and support independent media from $4.20 a month.